Proverbs 23 in your Bible this morning. We're going to look at the first three verses of this chapter, Proverbs chapter 23, and I trust the message will be helpful, very practical, and helpful for our hearts this morning. Proverbs 23, and we're going to begin just at verse 1, 2, and 3 is our text today. Let's stand together, please, out of honor and respect to the Word of God. If you'd please join me on verse number 2, reading here what Solomon wrote to his son concerning some principles of wisdom. So we're reading verse 23, chapter 23, verse 1. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Dear Lord, I pray that you'll please help us this morning. We come with an open heart. And then, Lord, may you open our eyes that we can behold wondrous things and, Lord, see things that we need. And then, God, I pray that your Spirit will direct those matters right to where they're most needed in my life, the life of the people in front of me this morning. Be in this service, O God. Give us liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty to preach, to listen, to concentrate, not to be distracted. We pray for all those this morning. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your good word. In Jesus' name I ask and pray this, and amen. Thank you. Be seated. This morning, I want to speak today on the subject. We got a problem there, Brother Payne, somewhere. Out of control appetites. I want you to see verse number 20, verse number 2 of chapter 23. Give Brother Greg a chance to finagle with those buttons just a minute. And put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. So I want to talk to you for a little bit this morning on the subject out of control appetite. Dear Father, I pray that you'll please help us now. Thank you for the good song this morning, a reminder about heaven. And truly, dear Lord, it'll be a wonderful day when we get there. Until then, I pray that you'll help us to live for you. I pray, God, that we would be diligent as we are exhorted, as we're commanded in this text to be in control, to be moderate and temperate in all areas of life, so that, Lord, we can better serve you. God, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts today through your word. I thank you for it in advance. Please give me wisdom, power, strength, just grace as I preach the unsearchable riches of your word this morning to these dear people. Give us a good time in your book. I ask it in Jesus' name and amen. Now, I could preach this morning on what America is facing, in my opinion, after this last general election. I will say this, my heart hurts for our country. I'm burdened for it. I'm not
I'm not scared, but I am concerned, and I think rightly so. But instead, I want to preach on a subject that is far... This thing seems awfully overwhelming this morning. It did on Wednesday night, too. Maybe it's up here, Brother Payne. I'm not sure. I want to preach on a subject that is far more dangerous to you and me personally than an Obama presidency. Although I will say this, if you don't have a gun, you might want to go buy one and do it fast. And if you have a gun, you might want to get some ammunition for it fast. And I mean that with all my heart. That's the constitutional rights of freedom we enjoy in this country. And it'd be a shame. It'd be a bad, bad day if it were ever taken away from us. And so anyway, let's just throw that in. It's okay, folks. It's constitutional freedom. And I think your gun never killed anybody. Gun never killed anybody. The goofball behind it. Mayor Daley has more gun laws up in Chicago than you can shake a stick at, and they got more murders up there than anywhere else. Anyway, see, I said I wasn't going to preach on that stuff, but here we go. It just oozes out, huh? Oh, Proverbs is a book of wisdom. Let's get on course here. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. And you can't find any more profound wisdom than you find in chapter 23, verses 1 through 3. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat. That's pretty serious business. If thou be a man given to appetite, be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Now, the wise man told his son to be very cautious, be very considerate when you eat with people of wealth and people of influence. He said, son, if you're given to appetite, if you have a hard time controlling yourself when it comes to food and drink, if you have a hard time being moderate, if you're easily swayed by that type of thing, he said, put a knife to your throat. Don't get caught up in the finery. Don't get caught up in the fanciness. Some men will use food and drink to control you, to win you over, to secure your vote, to curry your favor. And that's what he's telling his son here. Basically, the wise man told his son to practice self-control over your appetites. Practice self-control over your appetites. If you have a runaway appetite, he said, then you need to take drastic measures to get control of it. Drastic measures. If you have an out-of-control appetite. Now, the main point of discussion in these verses concerns food and drink. But the application can be made to any appetite that is common to you and to me. Now, any runaway appetite, any out-of-control appetite. When I think of out-of-control, I think back to when I was a little guy and my family went to visit some family friends. And I was just a little boy and they had horses, the Ivies. And they lived out in rural Georgia. And we went to where and they had horses. And I never forget. We mounted up on two or three of the horses, and I was just a little guy. And for some reason, maybe I don't remember doing anything, but maybe I did something, or maybe it was the way I sat on the horse, or something happened. And here's this great big pasture, and that horse just bolted. I mean, took off like he shot out of a gun. I had to hang on to that saddle horn with all of my strength. I was bouncing all like one of those guys on those professional bull riding things. I mean, I was bouncing all over the place. I was screaming. I was absolutely scared to death. I knew nothing about how to control a horse. I knew nothing about how to get him to slow down. I just remember the man, Mr. Ivy, came riding up on the horse beside me and got the thing under control. And I was scared. I mean, really to this day, horses are okay. They're not my most favorite animal. Okay? Yeah, but anyway, they never made a movie about Old Yeller. He wasn't a horse. He was a dog. Amen. They never made a movie about Old, whatever your horse's name is. But they did dogs. And that's true. You cry when dogs go down, no doubt about it. But anyway, scared me. I think when I think of out of control, that's what I think about. He shot out of there like a bull out of a gun. And I'm hanging all through that. I had no control of that horse. The horse had control of me. Now, this is what God is saying. Any out-of-control appetite is dangerous. It's dangerous. And drastic measures have to be taken to seize control of an out-of-control appetite. Now, folks, rare is the person. I think this is not really the typical politically correct Sunday morning message within the realm of how we're taught to preach. You know, we're supposed to preach something that's more applicable to salvation and all of that. And I'll say a word about that at the end. But I don't know. This is where God brought me. And I just trust the Lord. Amen. On this morning. So yeah, maybe this is not a regular Sunday morning sermon, but it's a regular truth. Because I'll tell you something. Rare is the person who doesn't battle some unbridled appetite. Rare. Rare is the person. If you come to the place, it can come to the place where that out of control appetite can halt your spiritual growth. Shut it down. Because it's the physical in control instead of the spiritual. Okay? Can shut your spiritual growth down. I mean, put it on pause. It can come to the place where it would harm your mental well-being. Your thought life. And I'm not referring only, I am referring to lustful thoughts, but I'm also referring to thoughts of anger, thoughts of guilt. Because you can't get control of an appetite. So it can harm your spirit. It can harm your spirit. It can halt your spiritual growth. It can harm your mental well-being. It can hurt your physical well-being. There are some appetites that if they're not brought under control, they literally bring danger to your physical well-being. Literally. Put you physically in danger. If an out-of-control appetite can hinder your emotional stability. Out-of-control appetites can make you emotionally unstable. Depressed. Under a cloud, mad at yourself, angry at yourself, feelings of guilt. All of this can go on. Your spiritual life, your mental well-being, your physical well-being, your emotional stability, all of these things can be brought into play if we don't stay in control of our appetites. If an appetite gets out of control, Solomon told the wise man told his son, said, put a knife to your throat. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. That's a drastic measure. It must be that the out-of-control appetites are very serious. If you're going to take a drastic measure to get it corrected. Now, let me give you some truths this morning, some truths that we ought to know concerning appetites. We'll base it on this text right here. Number one, appetites are God-given. Appetites are God-given. God created us with appetites that, when in proper working order, help to sustain our life. For instance, let me give you three or four this morning. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 9, you read where God made food. Amen. And I'm glad He did. And God gave man an appetite for food. And I love that verse. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And God made, Jesus made it clear there that food is needed for physical sustenance. You have to eat to live physically. I believe with all my heart there will be food in heaven. There's a marriage supper of the Lamb. You don't have a supper without some kind of food on the table. You don't play tiddlywinks at a supper. You eat. I believe Jesus will eat with us. He ate with John chapter 21. He recalled those disciples back into fellowship with Himself in the Sea of Galilee, brought Peter and John, the other five there, and He had cooked on a fire some bread and fish. And He said, come and dine. And the Bible says that Jesus dined with them. Now watch this. He's in a resurrection body. He's in a glorified body. And yet He's eating bread and fish, grilled bread and fish. Amen. Fish sandwiches in heaven. All right. Sure. And so there's nothing wrong with food. God made food. God created food. In verse number 9, talks about the tree providing food. And God gave man a physical appetite for the food. And when it's done in the proper way, it's very healthy and very life-sustaining. In the Genesis creation, God made water. And man has an appetite for drink. a man gets throat gets parched and dry, and the mouth gets a little cottony, and there's a reason for that. We need to stay hydrated. Little boy's in the hospital this morning because he got dehydrated, and the health experts tell you that you should drink eight ounce glasses of water a day. That's 64 ounces. Well, that's a half a gallon of water, isn't it? Is that right? Am I right? Half a gallon of water every day. We should drink. And God created us with an appetite for drink and made the water and so forth. Jesus sat down at the well there in Samaria with the woman who was there coming to draw water. And he asked for a drink. He said, I'm thirsty. Can you give me some water to drink? So it's not wrong. It's not wrong to have an appetite for drink. I don't think it's wrong to drink other things besides water. But unfortunately, man has abused the appetite of thirst and uses it to take alcoholic beverages in, beverages that cause him to lose his discernment, lose his judgment, and become impaired. And right over here in Dwight, Highway 47, a drunk driver hit a car, killed a lady and two children. Thursday. That makes my blood boil. I don't like cigarettes. There was a day when I liked them, but I got saved. I don't like cigarettes. And I know cigarettes can be harmful to your body. I understand all that. But I'm amazed at how much emphasis we put on cigarettes in this nation, and the liquor flows like a river, and nobody says anything about that. That bothers me. I don't ever remember hearing anybody smoking a cigarette and taking people's lives because they were smoking a cigarette. Bothers me. I'm just saying man has an appetite for drink. God created man with that appetite, made water to satisfy that appetite. God made sleep. Aren't you glad he made sleep? God made rest. On the seventh day, God rested. And Psalm 127 says God gives his beloved sleep. Man has an appetite for rest and for sleep. That's normal. That's right. That's God-given. An appetite to lay down and rest and get some sleep. That's a God-given appetite. God gave man an appetite for intimacy. Nothing wrong with that appetite. Nothing wrong with that at all. God told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and have children. And part of that process is a God-given normal appetite for intimacy. And in the New Testament, Hebrews 13:4, the Lord says, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, a reference to an appetite for intimacy in the bonds of marriage. It's wonderful, it's honorable, it's right, and God created us with that appetite for a specific purpose and for a specific reason. And it's a beautiful thing. Now, I'll stop there. There are probably more appetites that I could talk about. But I mentioned food and drink and rest and sleep and intimacy. And folks, all of these are normal, God-given, God-created physical appetites that when used rightly sustain and enhance our physical life. Amen. So there's nothing wrong with appetite. There's nothing wrong with the desire, the craving of hunger. There's nothing wrong with the desire for drink. Thirst. There's nothing wrong with the desire, the need of sleep or rest. There's nothing wrong with the need or the desire for intimacy. There's nothing wrong with those appetites. They're God-given and God-created. Don't make us what we're not. We're not robots. We're not mechanical. Okay? God gave us those appetites. And let me say number two this morning. This is where we get in trouble. Our appetites are tainted by sin. Our appetites are tainted by sin. When God created these appetites, they were good, normal, and helpful to us as long as they were under the control of the spiritual man. They were under spiritual control. But watch this. When Adam sinned against God, he took on a sin nature, and that sin nature tainted all of those appetites, all of our God-given, God-created, normal physical appetites are now tainted by sin. By sin nature. All of them. Now, do you know what sin does? Sin seeks control. Sin is not passive and sin is not docile. Sin is aggressive. Sin is aggressive. It reaches out. It seeks to control. And one of the ways sin seeks to control, it grows and grows and grows and expands and it works and works and works until it brings death. And one of the ways sin seeks to control us and expand in our life and work in our life is through appetites. Appetites that were once wholesome, good, perfect, God-given, now tainted by sin, and they will dominate and control us if they are allowed to get away, out of control, run loose. It'll control. Sin will control us through those appetites. Now, let me give you some for instances. Let's talk about the appetite for food and drink. Appetite for food and drink can wreak havoc. An out-of-control appetite for food and drink can wreak havoc in our bodies. You know it can. It can wreak havoc in our bodies. You know, I there's no question. I need to lose about 20 pounds. I need to do that. And I'm going to tell you something. There are times when I am all over myself. I'm under a cloud almost because I need to lose 20 pounds. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's not healthy for me, and it's not healthy for you. Well, you can say amen out there. That's right, okay? I told you this was a little different this morning. It doesn't feel like there's any air circulating. I don't know if everybody's sucking it all in or what. See, we'd be screaming and shouting if we was preaching on homosexuals. But, man, don't get on being a little overweight because... I'm going to tell you something, gluttony is a sin. And overdoing it when it comes to food and drink. Your spiritual growth can be halted, hurt. God is not pleased when our eating and drinking is not done in moderation, under control. The mental well-being can be harmed. Thoughts are negative and you're half mad and you're half angry at yourself. And you can become literally depressed because of the physical appetite is out of control. And the truth of the matter is, it can kill you if you're not careful. Look, folks, this is the only vehicle through which I have to serve God. That's it. So appetite tainted by sin, sin longs to control and destroy us. Sin longs to take over. Sin longs to rule, expand, become aggressive, and dominate in my life and wreak dominion in my life. And one of the ways sin can do that, if I let it, is through an out-of-control appetite. Out of control appetite for physical food and drink. Now, how about the appetite for rest and sleep? Do you know that out of control, it's dangerous? It creates a lazy, slothful, sleepy, sluggardly spirit attitude. It's unbelievably dangerous. We are told God gives us sleep, but we're also told not to love it. Use it. Get what you need. Use it for rest. Use it for refreshment. And nothing in the world is more refreshing than a good night of sleep. But the Bible says in Proverbs 20:13, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. The word sleep there means more than just physical sleep. It means to be slack, to be stale. A runaway appetite for rest and sleep will destroy the work ethic in a person's life. And the work ethic is so vitally important to our well-being, personally, family-wise, nationally, in a church. Folks, you don't have a successful church without a good church work ethic. And if you let the sleep appetite go out of control, I mean, look, the appetite, the work ethic in our country is pathetic. The appetite for rest and for sleep and for pleasure is so out of control. You could starve the average person on welfare by hiding their check under their work boots. And you know that's true. Don't puff up. I'm talking about red, brown, yellow, black, and white. It don't matter the color of this stuff, right? I'm not talking about the color of this stuff. I'm talking about what's in here. Out of control. Look, sleep is necessary. Rest is necessary. The body needs it. God gave us an appetite for it. But when it gets out of control, it's horrible. Hey, let me throw something at you. You know, when you think of the name Sodom, and you think of the city of Sodom, okay, the first thing that always comes to our mind, the sin that plagued that city, when we think about Sodom, is what? Sodomy. The sin of homosexuality. I said it right. Sin. It's not a choice. It's not an alternate lifestyle. And nobody's born with that gene. And it's sin like adultery sin. And it's sin like fornication. That's what we think of when we think of Sodom. Sodomy. The sin of sodomy. But you know what the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse number 48? Ezekiel was talking about the sin of Sodom and listed the sins of Sodom. You know what one of those sins was? Abundance of idleness. Now, we don't think about that when it comes to Sodom. We think about God judging Sodom because of its sodomy. But the truth of the matter is, friend, I think one of the things that created this whole atmosphere in Sodom that was so godless was listed right here in Ezekiel chapter 16. An abundance of idleness. That's an appetite for sleep and for rest that is out of control. If you don't believe me, go knocking on doors at 11:30 on Saturday morning. What time is it? We're not getting out of bed till afternoon. It's crazy. I'm going to tell you, if I don't have a couple of 3 hours of work done before 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm not going to get my day started right. We are a pleasure-loving, sleep-loving, rest-loving, vacation loving, personal day loving, sick day loving. We're an out of control people when it comes to sleep and rest. I'm talking about appetites that are out of control. Let's talk about that appetite for intimacy just for a moment here. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. I want to show you a verse here. Hebrews chapter 13. And look quickly over here with me. We've got to finish up here in just a few minutes. Hebrews chapter 13. And I'm talking about out-of-control appetites. Out-of-control appetites. All right, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 4. Boy, God is so specific here. I referred to this a little while ago. Hebrews 13, 4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Now look at that, folks. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed. The marriage bed. The marriage bed. Intimacy inside the boundaries of marriage. I'm not even going to get into defining marriage. It's ridiculous. That was encouraging on Tuesday, wasn't it? In all three states, the American people said, the marriage bed is undefiled. Now, you hear me. Anything that takes place intimate-wise outside of the marriage relationship is sin. I mean, before marriage, during marriage, if it's not with the person to whom you are married, it's sin. I'm talking about physical, I'm talking about mental, I'm talking about emotional. It's all wrong. And America is fueled by unbridled testosterone and estrogen. Fueled by it. I said our country is driven by unbridled testosterone and estrogen. Unbridled. Out of control. in its place. It's proper. It's right. It's God-given. Those hormones are there for a specific purpose and reason created by God. But America and many other nations in this world have just thrown the reins in the air and the horse is galloping through the pasture and we're bouncing all over trying to hang on to the saddle horn. It's out of control. We're trying to raise pure kids in this. And trying to keep ourselves pure. Keep physically pure. Keep mentally pure. Keep emotionally pure. You listening this morning? It's out of control. The sights and sounds that fuel that appetite are abundant. There's nothing wrong with the appetite. The sights and sounds that stir those appetites are all around us. And then if that appetite is not bridled, if it's not controlled, if it's not kept within the boundaries and the parameters of God's Word, if it gets out of control, friend, you're going to do great damage to yourself. The sights and sounds are everywhere in newspaper ads and retail catalogs and movies and TV shows and magazines and billboards and internet websites and novelty shops. Everywhere. It's killing us. We used to preach about going to the movies. That's almost, it's not even worth mentioning anymore because the movies that we bring into the house. It's out of control. And look at me, just because you and I are saved by the grace of God, we can't even begin to think that just because we're a Christian, we're not bothered by that. What are you talking about? Of course we're bothered by that. I remember years ago, Brother Brown, my pastor out in Iowa, when he was assistant pastor in Winston-Salem in North Carolina, he went on a trip with some guys to get a couple of buses. And they had it overnight in a motel room. They were looking at the tourist magazine. You know how they'll have a tourist magazine in the room, and they were looking through the tourist magazine, and here they turned the page, and here was this woman that was scantily clothed, and as soon as it turned the page, Brother Brown said, "Turn it." And a guy looked at him and said, "That bother you?" Brother Brown said, "Absolutely. It don't bother me. Baloney." Baloney. I'm going to tell you something. If that doesn't bother you, you're a liar. Or you're a funny boy. Or like what he used to say, Brother Brown said, "You might as well toddy on down to the mortuary. You're deader than you think you are." And by the way, it wasn't 12 months. It wasn't 12 months where that man was gone from his wife and taken up with another woman. Are you listening? It's out of control. You go ahead and cover it up. You won't be able to live with yourself. Can't do it. It's against God. It's against decency. It's against right. It's against this book right here. And the Bible says that whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. That's what he said. Our appetites are tainted by sin. And if they get out of control, that's one of the ways that sin will rule, dominate, wreak havoc in our life, and ultimately bring forth death through out-of-control appetites that are tainted by sin. Now, I got just a few minutes. Let me say this morning. Number three, drastic measures must be taken to curb out-of-control appetites. Folks, when he said, "Put a knife to thy throat," I don't think this is not an encouragement to commit suicide. Not suicide. Although, you're pretty much already involved in that without a control of appetites. What is this? It is a directive to take drastic measures to get control of an out-of-control appetite. Take drastic measures. Put a knife to your throat. is a drastic measure. He said, you got to throw caution to the wind. You got to jump on that thing like a tick on a June bug. You got to ride that thing. You got to get control of that thing. You've got to take a drastic measure to get a control, to get control of an out of control appetite. Let me ask you this morning, do you have an appetite or does an appetite have you? Now, there's more to preach about here than I have time to talk about. And really, this message needs a follow-up message, and maybe I'll get to it when the Lord puts it upon my heart. I don't think it will be for tonight because I've already got something for tonight. But there needs to be a follow-up message too. How do you put a knife to your throat? Well, do you remember that little story about the guy, me on that horse out of control? You know who helped me get? It took a person to ride up alongside of me and get control of that horse. I'm going to tell you where we're failing. I'm going to tell you where we're failing. We're failing. We're making a big F. We're trying to fight out of control appetites ourselves. We don't want any accountability. We don't want anybody to know. We don't want anybody to fool with us. I'll kick it. And I'll say 90% of the time, we will not kick it ourselves. Especially pornography. Especially. Does all these churches have these Reformers Unanimous addiction ministries? You know the number one addiction they're fighting? It's not cocaine and marijuana. Not even alcohol. The number one addiction they're fighting is pornography. And it involves gang-banging teenagers and well-dressed men in business suits. Out of control. You've got to have help. Now, I want to show you, I don't have that time this morning to preach the entire message, the message that needs to be preached, but I want to show you where you got to start. At least you can get started. Look at Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 19. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 19. We all together this morning so far, amen? It's just a little heavy for a Sunday morning. We're supposed to be laughing and having a good time. You don't always need to laugh. Sometimes it's time to think serious. Look at verse number 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, they with two such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. This is out of control flesh. You say, Pastor, what do you think that means right there? They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I think anybody who's caught up in out of control appetites of the flesh like this and enjoys it and feels no conviction and no shame and no embarrassment and revels in it is not saved. Because I believe that's what it says. Look at me. I never saw an unhappy hog in a mud puddle in Iowa. I lived there 10 years and I saw thousands of hogs. And Iowa beat Penn State yesterday. I don't know where that came from, but it did. Amen. So, thousands of hogs. I never saw an unhappy hog in a mud puddle ever. In fact, the nature of that hog is to find the biggest puddle he can find, the grungiest, sorriest, dirtiest cesspool of a puddle in the whole barnyard, and just belly up in it and just smile. You ever seen them? It's like they got a smile on their face. That's their nature. They love it. I'm saved. And I love adult bookstores. I'm saved. And I love that junk. I'm saved. And I love it. I can. You better check out your nature. Look at verse number. That's the flesh going crazy. Look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. What's the next word? Temperance. What's that word mean? Self-control. Temperance means self-control. Look, you start with the Spirit of God. There has to be an acknowledgement of helplessness. There has to be a beginning to seek His help. We must start the day with a plea, a cry for mercy directed to the Spirit of God for help, for power over physical, runaway, out-of-control appetites. Dear Spirit of God, I have an out-of-control appetite. I need temperance. I need self-control over this or this and this or this and this. I need it. Please, you must help me. Friend, do you remember the story of Rebecca in the book of Genesis when she couldn't have children? Isaac prayed for her, and then God gave her twins, and they struggled. Remember that? They struggled in her womb. They fought. And it was an allegory. It was an illustration. Jacob and Esau. Jacob, the man of the spirit. Esau, the man of the flesh. Before they were born in the womb, during the gestation period, they were struggling. Fighting. And they had an adversarial relationship most of their life. This is what goes on in our bodies. These physical appetites that are tainted by sin. The flesh wants to just let them go. Let them go. Let them run. The Spirit of God says, absolutely not. Absolutely not. You bring this under my control, and 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 you bring them under my control, and they're God-given, God-created, normal capacity. They are wonderful and blessed and glorious, and they'll sustain a happy and healthy physical life. But when they're out of control, they're as dangerous can be. Dangerous. Well, you look at what goes on in a life where there's no spiritual influence. It's just crazy. I don't have time to preach the end of the message this morning. But friend, if you're not saved, I'm going to tell you something. If you're not born again of the Spirit of God, then you are dominated by an old fleshly, sin-tainted nature that's going to wreak havoc in your life, and ultimately, you'll be separated from God forever in a place called hell. But thank God Jesus came to die for all sin. And brother, when you come to Christ in repentance and faith and that new nature is born in you, all of a sudden there's a new nature in you that says, hey, let's do this right. Let's do this according to what's right and truthful and honest and good and lovely. Let's get this life under control. And a life that was just hell-bent, crazy, out of control, can be brought under the direction of the Spirit of God. But it'll never happen without salvation first and Spirit control second. Then there are other drastic measures that you and I have to take. Have to take. But it starts with being controlled by the Spirit. I wonder, do you have an out of control appetite this morning? Does an out-of-control appetite have you? Does it? Well, Solomon said, son, if it does, put a knife to your throat. Take drastic measures. That begins with the Spirit of God. All okay this morning? Amen? That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Let's bow our heads in prayer together. Thank you for listening.